This is The Conversation. I'm Catherine Cruz. Now, we've been reporting about a proposal at the state capitol to build affordable housing apartments on state-owned land along Honolulu's rail transit line. The plan, which is called Aloha Homes, is modeled off of a successful public housing program in Singapore. Aloha Homes generated both support and skepticism from the community. This week, the University of Hawaii Economic Research Organization released a brief outlining its analysis of the proposal. Sumner LaCroix is an economist with UHERO who co-authored the brief. He spoke with HPR's Ryan Finnerty to share his take on Aloha Homes, beginning with some historical context on housing in Hawaii.
Well, the magnitude of the unaffordability is really high today. There's only two places in the country that have higher housing prices when I looked in February of 2019. And those two places are San Francisco, which prices are over $1 million, and San Jose. And so these are basically two big tech centers nowadays. And we're right behind it at number three, with the median price of a home being over $800,000. Even if we're looking at the median price of a condo, we're talking about over $400,000. These are historically high prices. It's useful to remember, too, that Hawaii has never been a cheap place to live or to buy a house. And there's some good reasons for that. So let me just talk about those reasons. So one reason is it's a really great place to live. And any place that's a really good place to live, people have to pay for it in some ways. Okay. Now, if what you find is that living in Honolulu is the same as living in a town in the Midwest that has no particular amenities, harsh winters, tornadoes, and just plain maybe a less desirable lifestyle for a lot of people. Okay, if it's the exact same price, all of those people from those towns will move to Hawaii, okay, and they will bid up prices here. So if people moved here, we'd find housing prices going up and wages going down. If you live in a really desirable place, one of the two has to be in place. You either have to have higher housing prices, slightly lower wages, or both. And that's partly because when you look at the unique attributes that Hawaii has, probably the best weather in the world. It's got warm water. It's got natural beauty. It has really wonderful people. It has a fantastic host culture, the Hawaiian culture here. And when you put all those together, people are willing to pay a premium to live here. So that's one thing. There's also just the fact that land is scarce. We're islands. On top of that, too, we have somewhat onerous regulation of land. And we have what's known as a double, triple, quadruple systems of regulation, where if a development project fails at any level of the regulatory process, it's dead. And let's just simplify it. So, for example, if we're even going to think about building something, you need to make sure that land is zoned for housing. There's a good deal of land zoned for housing, but a lot of it isn't. Some of the places where people want to live, they need to get the land rezoned from, say, agriculture to urban. And the state controls that process. So if you can't get the state approval, the project's dead. Even if you get the state approval, you still have to get the city approval. So if you don't get the city approval, the project's dead. This type of double regulation really was unheard of in the United States in, say, the 1950s, 1960s. Hawaii was one of the pioneering states with it. And at the time, one could say, particularly in the transition from the colonial era to the modern era, the county governments were really weak, and in many ways, they didn't have the capacity to do the regulation that was needed during a time when tourism was developing rapidly. Today, that's changed a little bit. Today, the county governments are certainly capable, if they're allowed to have the resources, they're certainly capable of doing more of that regulation themselves. I don't see the need for so much of a regulatory system where we have massive layers of regulation that make putting a project together really difficult. Until we change that, we're still going to find that that housing here is really expensive. Single family homes, you know, it's not clear to me single family homes are ever going to be really cheap here. It's not clear in Oahu that we want to cover the island with single family homes. In some sense, that would be killing the resource that we all depend upon here, the natural beauty of the islands would disappear quickly. But on the other hand, we certainly can build up in various areas. And I think what people see today is that we're building up with luxury condominiums and not with more affordable housing. And I think there's tweaks to the regulatory mechanism that would really help that would help push housing development toward more affordable housing.
There have been a myriad of solutions over the years proposed to address this, everything from loosening development restrictions to allow construction of more housing to just recently we heard a proposal to create a pretty massive public housing project based on what Singapore does, where the state would build condominiums or apartments and do 99-year leases to Hawaii residents who don't own other property. What do you think about some of these proposals, including that one?
Okay, so I think the idea of using state and city-owned land around the rapid transit stations and the rapid transit system that we're building is a pretty good one. That the state and city ought to investigate which lands could they release for such purposes, and we ought to be thinking about how we can develop those lands in housing. Those would be the natural places to be developing more housing. But at the same time, to talk about leasehold housing, in the past, Hawaii residents who've purchased leasehold housings have over time become dissatisfied with their leasehold contracts. And we've then moved to dismantle leasehold in single-family homes. You know, we've allowed people essentially to petition the government to use the eminent domain process so that they end up purchasing the land under their homes, even when the landowner doesn't want to sell. And then later, the city of Honolulu, the city and county of Honolulu, did the exact same thing with condominiums. The city law was repealed in 2004. The state law is still out there, but we've moved to dismantle leasehold systems. And I think before we start saying let's put in place a brand new leasehold system, we need to think very carefully. Why did the previous two fail, and is this really a road that we want to go down again? It's easy to see why state policymakers have focused on leasehold, because it's very difficult to sell state land. I mean, state land is part of a state land trust that was set up under the Statehood Act. This is partly because those state lands are lands that were taken by the U.S. government from the Hawaiian government and from the Queen at annexation, and Hawaiians have claims over those lands. We have legislation now that basically says it takes a two-thirds act of each house of the legislature to sell the lands. Selling the lands would be really difficult, so the state's proposing 99-year leasehold. The current bills at the legislature are really interesting. I think that they're well-motivated, but they basically say that the state will sell the homes, or the developer will sell the homes, at $300,000. The research that I've done doesn't really show that to be possible, and I think that's something that the state needs to really look at closely. It's promising really cheap homes, and yet when we look at recent city reports on the cost of developing affordable housing, they have the cost of developing affordable housing at $400,000 to $500,000. So how the state would sell $300,000 is a bit of a mystery. And if there's huge subsidies built into this particular plan, well, the taxpayers and the legislature and the governor ought to know about it beforehand. We also have no idea how the leases would be structured in this bill. That's just left for a government agency established under the bill to figure out. To my mind, the bill's a really interesting venture. Maybe not quite ready for prime time yet.
And we should say that it is not going to pass the legislature this year, but what we've been told is that there are plans to reintroduce it next year after a visit to Singapore to see how things are implemented there. I spoke to someone who is familiar with the program in Singapore, and he told me that it originally was created in the 1960s after a series of natural disasters and fires had destroyed a lot of the housing stock, and it was the government's answer to quickly address the shortage. Is perhaps that the way we should look at it here in Hawaii, that this could be a short-term solution and then we need structural reforms to the regulatory system over the long term to put us on a more sustainable path?
I do think we need structural reforms. There's no reason why the development of housing by the private sector should be so expensive. And I think the regulatory system has a lot to do with that. It's interesting that these bills basically say that all the regulations will be waived for this new housing. Now, of course, if you told the private sector, we're going to waive all the regulations you have to follow, they could build cheaper housing too. I think the main point about the bill this year is I think it stimulated interesting discussion. And I think it's forced people to look at the issue that housing is unduly expensive here in Hawaii. If we're going to build, it probably is building up for affordable units. Trying to build more single-family homes on the island, I think, is a misplaced venture. But trying to build up is something that we need to think about. There's ultimately going to be people who ask, how many people can the island handle, period. But I think there's certainly room in the Honolulu urban corridor for more housing to be built, and that it's up to the city and the state to try to figure out how to give developers appropriate incentives to build affordable housing.
All right, Sumner LaCroix, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was economist Sumner LaCroix with the University of Hawaii's Economic Research Organization. You can find a link to the UHERO brief on Aloha Homes and our previous stories on the proposal at hawaiipublicradio.org.